பத்ரம் கண்ணே பிஷ்ருணு யாம தேவாஹ பத்ரம் பஷ்யேமாக்ஷபர்யஜத்ராஹ ஸ்திரைரங்கைஸ்துஷ்டுபாகம்சஸ்தனூபிஹி வ்யஷேம தேவஹிதை யதாயுஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ வ்ருத்தஶ்ரவாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஃ பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்திஹி. லெட் அஸ் ரிமெம்பர் தி மந்த்ரஸ். We have started the second mundakam, and there we are seeing now the first khandaha, first section. And as I said, this first section and the second section, both sections of second mundakam, the whole of second chapter, is dedicated exclusively for paravidya, discussion on paravidya. And in the very first verse, having introduced the srishti prakriya, and having presented Brahman as Jagat Karanam, giving the example of conflagration of fire and how the sparks originate from this fire are of the same nature of the fire. They are of brilliance and the heat of the fire. In the same way, many beings originate from Brahman. And again, the return to the Brahman itself. We saw that elaborately, the first mantra. Let's read the mantra. Yatha sudiptat pavakad vispulingah. See that you also memorize the mantras. That's why I'm repeating, especially for young teachers. Yatha sudiptat pavakad vispulingah. சஹஸ்ரஷ பிரபவந்தே சரூபாஹ சஹஸ்ரஷ பிரபவந்தே சரூபாஹ யதாக்ஷராத் விவிதா சௌம்ய பாவாஹ யதாக்ஷராத் விவிதா சௌம்ய பாவாஹ பிரஜாயந்தே தத்ர சைவாபி யந்தி. Tara, you also just put in Asana group, Kana. Tathaksharad vividha somya bhavah prajayante tatra chaiva piyanti. And having presented in this tatastha lakshanam of Brahman, now in the second mantra, Upanishad presents the swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. I already said, if the words of the Upanishad reveals the reality in terms of its nature, then it is known as Swarupa Lakshanam. If the words of the Upanishad presents Brahman as the cause and thereby helps us arrive at Brahman, it is known as Tatastha Lakshanam. Is it clear now? I'll repeat again. Tatastha Lakshanam is a definition of Brahman, wherein Brahman is presented as the cause of the universe, and thereby we are helped arrive at Brahman. This is Tatastha Lakshanam. In this Tatastha Lakshanam, when Brahman is presented as the cause, then finally, Upanishad negates the universe, creation of the universe, and thereby, please allow you to mute yourself. Upanishad presents Brahman as Jagat Karanam. Then Upanishad negates the creation of the universe. Then finally, Upanishad also negates the causal status attributed to the Brahman. Thereby, Upanishad helps us arrive at the Brahman, what exactly Brahman is. Therefore, it's called Tatastha Lakshanam. Whereas in Swarupa Lakshanam, the words of the Shastram reveals the reality in terms of its nature and which has to be arrived at as the truth of one's own self. So you arrive at the nature of reality in terms of reality Brahman, in terms of its nature of existence. of the universe. And we arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of consciousness as the truth of the individual. In Swarupa Lakshanam helps us arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of reality, obtaining as the truth of the individual, consciousness. Okay, now we are going to see the second mantra, which we started already seeing. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Second mantra I'm reading. Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha. Sabahya Bhintaro Hyajaha. Sabahya Bhintaro Hyajaha. Aprano Hyamana Shubraha. We can say it together. Aprano Hyamana Shubro Hyaksharad. Paratav Paraha Divyo Hyamurtav Purushaha Sabahya Bhyantaro Hyajaha Aprano Hyamana Shubro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha Aprano Hyamana Shubro Hyaksharat Paratav Paraha. So Divyaha, I already explained the word Divyaha means the reality is of the nature of self-effulgence. The word divyam, here this atma is of the nature of self-effulgence. It is of the nature of self-effulgence, means it is of the nature of self-revealing and self-evident. And because it is of the nature of consciousness, whenever the word effulgence is used as nature of reality, you must understand effulgence implies always pure knowledge or pure consciousness. So reality obtaining as the self is of the nature of consciousness, self-effulgence. Then Amurtaha, He Amurtaha, indeed, this reality is of the nature of formlessness. It has no form. Because consciousness, reality is arrived in terms of its nature of consciousness and which has no form. So Amurtaha, which is formless. And Purushaha, this also we have seen. I explained, Pure Ushati Iti Purushaha, Sarvam Purayati Iti Purushaha. This reality, consciousness, obtaining as the individual, the truth of the individual, it pervades the entire body, mind, sense complex of the individual. But it is not limited by the peripheries of the body, mind, sense complex, which means it goes beyond pervading the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space. Therefore, because it pervades the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, it fills everything. As the very content of everything, not only reality is the content of I, reality is the only content of everything, including time and space. When I say reality obtains the content of everything, means it is the very essence, it lends existence to everything. There's no object, no form which exists without the reality. This reality is the only substance. As the very substance which lends existence to all the forms and names, reality pervades everything. Sarvam Purayati Iti Purushaha. So the one word Purusha indicates, already the word one word Purusha itself indicates, that reveals the fact of essential oneness of the universe and the individual also. Pure Ushati means that which indwells the individual being as the essential nature. Sarvam Purayati means that which pervades everything, remaining in him of content of everything. Therefore, already it says what? Reality is Purushaha. புருஷா புரே உஷத்தீட்டி புருஷா சர்வம் பூரையத்தீட்டி புருஷா சா பாஹ்யா ஆபியந்தரா பாஹ்யாபியந்தரா. You have seen this also. This reality obtaining in the form of, arrived at in terms of its nature of consciousness, is not just only inside. It is available for recognition in the mind and realm of consciousness, but it is inside and outside. It is inside and outside of the body, mind, sense complex, which means it pervades everything. The word purushaha is further commented upon by the word following word bahyabhyantaraha. This consciousness is inside and outside, remaining as the truth of everything. The consciousness has no inside and outside, because consciousness is the only truth. Therefore, it has no inside and outside, but it pervades everything. It is there pervading everything inside and outside of the body, mind, and complex in the whole of the universe. He ajaha, and he indeed ajaha means unborn. So when you say consciousness is unborn, atma is unborn, it implies what? Timeless nature of the reality. Whenever unborn implies what? It is beginningless. Beginningless means what? Causeless. And causeless means what? Changeless. See, one word should help you understand so many other factors also. Reality is unborn. Ajaha. Ajam Brahma, ajaha atma. Okay? Unborn Brahman, unborn atma. Ajaha atma. Ajam Brahma means unborn implies beginninglessness. Beginninglessness implies causelessness. Causelessness implies changelessness. Changelessness implies motionlessness. Motionlessness implies unmoving nature. Reality consciousness cannot move from one place to other place, because there's no place it is not. That's also implied by this one word ajam. Okay, even though we are going to have another separate word for this. So ajam, ajaha, and because it is unborn, changeless, it is endless also. Therefore, ajaha implies eternity of being the nature of the atma. Eternal. Then apranaha hi amanaha. So all the pranas in all the beings are atma. If any prana, all functions, all physiological functions happen because of the blessing of atma. They enjoy their existence in the presence of the atma. So pranas cannot independently exist. So all the pranas are atma, whereas atma does not have pranas. Apranaha. Atma does not possess, have pranas. Free from pranas. Atma does not have pranas means all pranas are atma, but atma is free from pranas. It is not dependent on pranas. It is free from pranas. It doesn't have pranas. There is no possessor-possessed connection between atma and the pranas. Similarly, there is no possessor-possessed connection between atma and the mind. Hi amanaha. Indeed, amanaha means what? Atma is mindless. What does it mean? The mind itself enjoys its existence in the presence of consciousness. Mind is nothing but subtlest matter consisting of countless thoughts, and known as vrittayaha. All the vrittis of different types, classified as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. All those thoughts which constitute the antahkaranam enjoy their existence only in the presence of consciousness. There's no mind by itself is of the nature of inertness. The mind is Atma. The mind is Atma, because mind enjoys its existence in the presence of Atma. Whereas Atma is not the mind. At the same time, Atma is free from mind. Atma does not have mind. Amanaha. Then Shubhraha. Atma is absolutely of the nature of purity. Means Shubhra means clean, pure. Why? Because Atma does not have any mental impurity such as raga, dvesha, krodha, moha, mada, matsalya. Consciousness, Atma implying consciousness, does not have any jealousy, hatred, anger, etc. All we have seen is free from mind, means it is free from all impurities, it is pure. Not only that, it is not touched by, tainted by any of the impurities. It is free from all punya papas also. Not only Atma is free from impurities such as blemishes, it is free from even punya papams also. Because Atma has no doership, Atma has no injarship, Atma is absolutely free from punya papams. Therefore, Atma is ever of the nature of purity. Atma is absolutely pure. Shubhraha. And he, aksharat paratav paraha. This is only one word I have to explain. The rest I have already explained. Remember? You have already seen. Only aksharat paratav paraha I have to explain. Atma is said to be paraha. Paraha means the supreme, the most exalted. It is most exalted means it is more exalted than even parasmat. Parasmat paraha. What is parasmat paraha? So here, the whole jagat, the entirety of the objective universe, including one's body, mind and complex, is nothing but modified form of maya. Or you can say, Maya alone is in the form of the jagat. Maya is the material cause. And what is this Maya? Maya is the unmanifest power of the Atma. Unmanifest power of the Atma, manifest is the universe. Okay? I prefer this word manifest instead of modifying. Okay? The entirety of the objective, material, inert, objective universe, including one's body, mind, sense complex, is nothing but manifestation of Ma. The power of reality, Maya, manifests this universe. Therefore, who is superior? The reality is dependent on Maya. Manifestation of Maya for its existence. For the universe to be there, to have the status of being existent, there Maya must become manifest. It means the power of reality must become manifest. Only then the universe is possible. Therefore, the universe is dependent on the Maya, manifestation of Maya. Therefore, Maya is superior to the universe. Maya is greater than the universe. And what is greater than the Maya? Maya is the power of the reality, means the source of the power, which lends existence to the power, is greater than the Maya. Is it clear now? So the reality obtaining in the form of pure awareness, pure consciousness, lends existence to its own power. Means what? It's a source of the power. Therefore, the source of the power is superior to the very power. And the power is superior to the world. Therefore, he says, Maya yaha paraha. Paratav paraha means Maya yaha paraha. So Atma, the consciousness, is more exalted, is superior to even the Maya, the power, manifestation of which alone is the universe. Okay, so Jagat, Maya, then consciousness. I mean, you can say Atma. Jagat, Maya, Atma means what? Atma and Maya are inseparable. The unmanifest power of Atma is Maya. And Atma is the source of the power. Jagat is the manifestation of the Maya. Therefore, if you see the hierarchy, again, Jagat is dependent and Maya is material cause. And the source of the one in because of whose presence, in whose presence, whose blessing, this manifestation of Maya as the universe is Atma, the consciousness. Therefore, Atma is superior to the Maya also. That's what is said here. Parasmat aksharat paratav paraha. The word, first word aksharam, does not mean Brahman. Akshara means this art, the matter, Maya. Maya is also said to be Prakritihi. Maya is also known as the matter is said to be Aksharam, because matter also is not created. Matter also is not destroyed. Even though matter is of the nature of undergoing changes, matter also is absolutely indestructible, relatively destructible. Therefore, matter also is known by the term Aksharam. Aksharat Parataha means Paraha. Aksharat Parataha Paraha. So, Atma, the consciousness, is the most exalted, it is greater than, superior to even the indestructible power of Maya. This is the meaning of the second mantra. You already seen this. Now, when I say Maya, please remember, Maya is unmanifest power of reality. Unmanifest power of reality means what? You must understand. Undifferentiated, unmanifest power of reality implies undifferentiated, undifferentiated, unmanifest forms and names. So, before the universe became manifest, what was there was the Atma with its inseparable power, Maya, which means with Atma alone, Brahman alone was there, with this power in terms of undifferentiated forms and names. And from that Brahman alone, all the conscious beings, the jivas, and the inert world of objects, all of them have come into existence. This was said in the previous mantra. Etasma jayate pranaha. It is the third mantra now. Etasma jayate pranaha. Sarvendriyani cha. Manas sarvendriyani cha. Etasma jayate pranaha. Manas sarvendriyani cha. Khamvayur jyotirap of prithivi vishvasya dharini. Etasma jayate pranaha. Manas sarvendriyani cha. Or you can read it as Etasmat jayate prano manas sarvendriyani cha. Etasmat jayate prano manas sarvendriyani cha. Khamvayur jyotirap of prithivi vishvasya dharini. Khamvayur jyotirap of prithivi vishvasya dharini. Kham vayur jyotirap of prithivi vishvasya dharini. Now, in this third verse, now having presented tatastha lakshma of Brahman in the first verse, and having presented the swarupa lakshma of Brahman in the second verse, and I told you last class how you arrive at the swarupa lakshanam, you negate the entire objective universe and anything which is known is of the nature of inertness, and anything which is of the nature of inertness cannot be the Atma. Therefore, anything known is of the nature of inertness, and the anything which is of the nature of inertness is Anatma. Two steps, okay? Known is of the nature of inertness, and anything which is of the nature of inertness is Anatma, non-self. Thereby what happens? You negate the objective universe. Of course, the world of objects available for perception through sense organs. Then you negate your own physical body, you know, with reluctance, because you have very strong eye sense rooted in the body. But now reluctantly, but you have no choice because it is object of your knowledge. Because the known is of the nature of inertness. Anything which is of the nature of inertness means it does not, it is anatma. And how do you know it is of the nature of inertness? Please understand. There is no knowledge of self-existence on the part of body. Okay? People always ask, how can I know the body is of the nature of inertness? Because I'm alive. Body is conscious. Body, of course, is conscious. That is why you have the body. Enjoy the body. Conscious body is conscious because of the blessing of presence of consciousness manifest in the mind. Okay? There is always, in dead body also, there is consciousness. In live body also is consciousness. Because consciousness is the only beginningless, endless, changeless, indestructible, all-pervasive, everlasting reality. So where can consciousness go? In dead body also is consciousness only. Consciousness pervades everything in and through. So consciousness cannot move anywhere, go anywhere, come back anywhere. But here, live body is conscious, dead body is inert, we say. But Shastra says, even the dead, live body is also inert. Okay? Even though conscious body is conscious, conscious body, physical body which is conscious also is of the nature of inertness. Okay, very subtle teaching, please make it the point. The physical body, not only the dead body, the physical body which is alive also is of the nature of inertness. Okay. So the dead body, which is of the nature of, which is dead, not the alive body also is of the nature of inertness. Why? Because there's no knowledge of self-existence on the part of the body. I am the body. Does the body know that body is the body? There's no self-consciousness, isn't it? That is the inertness. The body is inert. There's no knowledge on the part of the body that I am the body. There's no knowledge on the part of your hair, your nail, your nose, your eyes, anything. The heart or lungs. Heart does not say, I am the heart. So different names given to those parts of the body by us. Therefore, by us means the conscious being, the individual. Therefore, body is of the nature of, in the live body is also of the nature of inertness. Therefore, it is anatma. Then, we may understand, not simply negating as object. Not only it is object, it's also of nature of inertness. Then, geyatvata jadatvam, jadatvata anatmatvam. Okay? Geyatvata jadatvam, jadatvata anatmatvam. It has anatma nature. That is how you negate not only the physical body, you have reluctantly, you have negate even the physiological functions as non-self. You see, you negate your sense organs as subtle powers. Because of whose presence all the golakams function as in sense organs. And all the powers are anatma. All instruments of actions are power anatma. You negate all varieties of thoughts which constitute the antahkaram as anatma, including the ahankara. Including the knowledge of self-existence, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am cognition, I. Then what cannot be negated? What is that which knows? Is jnanati iti jnanam. Why atma is simple, implied by the term jnanam? Jnanati iti jnanam. It knows. But jnanam, it knows not because of its action. No, it's not an action, it's the very nature. Knowing is the swarupam. Therefore it is implied by the term jnanam. And this jnanam, it knows ignorance, it knows knowledge also. So this, it knows what you know. You know what you know, you know what you do not know also. Therefore, knowledge is object of your knowledge. Ignorance is object of your knowledge. Means your intellect is object of your knowledge. What you know is known. What you do not know is known. Means the knowledge is janati iti jnanam. That which knows is knowledge. So knowing is swarupam. That's why atma is implied by the term jnanam. Okay? Which knows both knowledge and ignorance. The knowledge which knows knowledge and ignorance is pure knowledge. The knowledge known is vritti jnanam. Please understand, knowledge known is vritti jnanam. The knowledge which knows the knowledge and ignorance is swarupa jnanam. Is it clear? The knowledge which knows knowledge and ignorance by its very existence, by its mere presence, is pure knowledge. The knowledge which is known is manifest knowledge. Vritti jnanam is manifest. The knowledge which is known is vritti jnanam, manifest knowledge. The knowledge which knows by its mere presence is swarupa jnanam. Is it clear then? The knower of knowledge and ignorance is pure knowledge. The knowledge known is vritti jnanam. So manifest knowledge, pure knowledge. Swarupa jnanam and vritti jnanam. You must know the difference. And we differentiate that pure knowledge which knows knowledge and ignorance alone is implied by the term Atma here, which is otherwise said to be pure awareness or pure consciousness. So we understood that as a Swarupa Jnanam, we arrive, Swarupa of the Atma, one has to arrive it only as one's essential nature of one's own self. You can never arrive at the nature of reality as an object. It has to be arrived at only as the Swarupam of the knower, the subject. Then you see, it is this consciousness, this awareness, pure knowledge alone, is in the form of existence of the whole jagat. Chit eva sat. And this chit, which is the sat existence of the universe, is free from all limitations. Time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation. Therefore, it is said to be anandaha. Chit sat anandaha. Okay? The word anandaha implies limitlessness, happiness and fullness. Anyway, now having presented in this Swarupa Lakshama of the Atma, the second mantra, both lakshanams of Atma Brahman have been beautifully presented in two mantras. Now Upanishad enters in the third mantra. And where it says, etasmat jayate. So the evolution of the universe, the evolution of the universe is discussed in this third mantra. Again, I tell you, whenever universe, the evolution of the universe is discussed means, when you say the creation is discussed means not for establishing creation. Upanishad strictly negates the origination of the universe, the creation of the universe and the existence of the universe. But it's only for us to understand what exactly the reality is, how the reality is. So in this third mantra, again Upanishad presents how the world, the universe evolved from Brahman. When we look at Brahman as the one from whom the universe evolved, then Brahman or Atma is given the qualification of Ishwaraha, the Lord, the ruler. Okay, see here. Here. Etasma jayate prano manas sarvendriyani cha kham vayur jyotirap of prithvi vishvasya dharini. So from that absolute reality, Brahman, which is looked upon as Ishwaraha with this power of Maya, the reality is endowed with the inseparable unmanifest power, and that with that power, reality is given, looked upon as Ishwaraha. So we can say Maya Upahita Chaitanyam Ishwaraha. Please note the definition now. Please note the definition. What is Ishwaraha? Technically, you have to say Maya Upahitam Chaitanyam Ishwaraha. Ishwaraha is a qualification attributed to Brahman, endowed with Maya, the unmanifest power. It means reality is one. the reactive with the power is given the qualification of Ishvara. So Maya Upahitam Chaitanyam Ishvaraha. And here we have to say, we understood already in other texts, and Taittiriya Upanishad, some of you might not have been exposed, but generally we say, first the elements come into existence from Brahman. It's not really, we should not take it seriously, but these are present, generally the text present. The five elements originate from Brahman, come into existence from Brahman. Why do I say, Vedanta Shastram presents the Jagat as five elemental model. Pancha Bhautikaha Prapanchaha. Pancha Bhautikaha Prapanchaha means five elemental model is this universe. This is the presentation of creation in the Upanishads. So, the Upanishads, the Veda Shastram, divides this entire cosmos, entirety of the cosmos into five elements. We can say five components. And the five components are five elements. And then from this five elements alone, all the elementals come into being. And from this, five elements, we can say, panchabhautikani, from panchabhautani, panchabhautikani. And here again we look at, there are subtle elements and there are gross elements. Sukshma bhautani pancha, sthula bhautani pancha. Originally space, air, water, the fire, earth, they all remains independently, each and every element is a subtle element. But then grossification takes place. Grossification means the 1/4 of each element, the tamasic aspect of each element mixes with the other and the grossification takes place. The grossification business, I'm not going to talk here, okay? You all know what is grossification. So each and every element has sattvaguna, tamoguna and rajoguna, and the tamasic aspect of elements alone divides into four, and 1/4 of the tamasic, 1/4 of tamasic aspect of each element joins together. That's how what happened, we get gross elements. So gross element, each gross element is nothing but three fourth of tamasic aspect of each element has 1/4 of the tamasic aspect of other elements. This is how the grossification takes place. Anyway, I'm not elaborating on grossifications. And then then plants come into existence. From there, living beings come into existence. This is how Upanishad presents let us understand, all the elements and the elementals come into existence. But even though water comes into this world, what happens is space is something which always remains untainted, untouched by anything. Similarly, the whole Jagat comes into existence, but remains, enjoys existence in Brahman, Paramatma, but untainting, untouching Paramatma. So Bhagavan Ishwaraha, here who is Bhagavan? Paramatma. Who is Paramatma? The Atma, Brahman. And from that Brahman, the universe came into existence, means the universe enjoys its existence in Paramatma, but Paramatma, the Brahman, is not touched or tainted or contaminated by anything like this space. So everything has come into existence. So etasmat prano jayate manaha sarvendriyani cha kham vayuhu jyotihi apaha prithivi vishvasya dharini. If we take the second line of the mantra, we can see kham, space, vayuhu, air, jyotihi, fire, apaha, waters, prithivi, earth, What is Prithvi? Vishvasya Dharini. Vishvasya Dharini is adjective of Prithvi. All five elements, Kham Vayur Jyotir Apav Prithvi. Those until then, five elements. And the earth is glorified as Vishvasya Dharini, sustainer of the entire world of beings. Vishvasya, of the entire world of beings, Dharini sustainer. Why? Because all the plants originate from, come into existence from, born out of earth only. Therefore, and the plants alone become food for the living beings. Without food, living beings cannot survive. And all the living beings survive because of the food. The food is from the earth element in the form of plants. Therefore, earth is said to be Vishvasya Dharini, sustainer of the world of beings as the source of food. Even though earth is not the ultimate source of food, earth is intermediary source of food. But for earth, there's no way of getting plants. Without plants, there's no way of having food. And Veda Shastram authentically, assertively states, food is vegetarian only. There's no such a thing called non-vegetarian food. Food is vegetarian. And this is very emphatically said in Taittiriya Upanishad, Oshadibhyonam Annat Purushaha. And the person eats food, and from the food alone, the essence of the food eaten by the parents alone becomes converted into the sperm and ovum. Thereby, even living beings originate from the food essence eaten of the parents. Therefore, how do the beings come into existence? From food, or essentially. Therefore, he says, Vishvasya Dharini. And all these elements, the second, just very quickly, open it says, all the elements and the elements, elementals, and plants and food, and the beings born of food, all of them, with their mind, sense organs, organs of action, sarva indriyani, with their organs of actions, organs of knowledge, mind, mind implies mind, intellect, memory, ego, pranaha, physiological functions, everything, etasmat jayate, everything is born of this Brahman only. Then what does Upanishad do now? It's elaboration of this Srishti Prakriya. What it was briefly presented in the first mantra is elaborately presented in the second mantra. Just saying, everything has come into existence from that Brahman. Okay. Thereby, what is the lesson that we have to learn from here? The mantra is over. Very simple. Okay. Kam manobho. When the Upanishad says, very simple. Kham vayur jyotirapav prithivi vishvasya dharini sarvendriyani manaha pranaha yetasmat jayate, mind, prana, all organs, sense organs, organs of actions, all elements, elementals, living beings, everything has come into existence from that, from this, that Brahman obtaining as this Atma. That Brahman, which alone is in the form of this Atma, from this Atma alone, everything comes into existence. With this, the mantra's meaning is over. But what is it we have to understand? We must understand the nature of the universe. Okay, nature of the universe. Here, even though the whole universe is, one universe, but one universe is of innumerable countless beings. It's a world, is of plurality. So when you read this mantra's meaning is very simple. Here we have to understand two things. From Brahman, everything has come into existence means, Brahman is what? Karanam. As a Karanam, Ishwaraha. Brahman is Jagat Karanam Ishwaraha. What is the nature of that Ishwara? You must understand. And what is the Jagat? So Karanam Brahma and Karyam Jagat. And what is the nature of the Karyam Jagat? We have to understand the nature of both cause and the effect. That this two mantra is such a simple kindergarten mantra. It sounds like this kindergarten mantra. But from this mantra, what is the lesson we have to derived is, we have to understand the nature of the cause separately, nature of the effect separately. We have to understand the nature of the cause first. Okay. Already we have understood the second mantra, first mantra. Again, the Upanishad is discussing the topic of creation, evolution of the universe. Why? Please understand, Upanishad is very particular to make us understand our connection with Bhagavan. The relationship between Bhagavan and the Jagat. In order to bring to our light, bring to our notice the fact that the Jagat has relationship with Bhagavan. There is relationship between Bhagavan and the Jagat. So, whenever the creation is discussed, and the main intention of discussing the creation is to brought to light the connection, the relationship between Bhagavan and the universe. Why? Because it is very important to know the relationship, connection between Bhagavan and the world. If we understand relationship between Bhagavan and the world, then it will be easy for us to, then it will be not easy, it will be possible for us to know our own essential nature also. So here, Upanishad presents the relationship between Bhagavan and the universe is karyakarana sambandha. Okay, karyakarana sambandha. We can say sesha seshi sambandha. If I remind you yesterday's class, I can say that also. Karanakarya sambandha. Cause-effect relationship. And then we analyze what is the nature of the cause. Okay, cause is one. With reference to any effect you take, cause is one. Already we have seen this. Because Brahman is one, Atma is one, and the Ishvara Bhagavan is one. Why? Because only truth. And here, on that Bhagavan, where is that Bhagavan, that only Bhagavan? If only Bhagavan is here as the cause of the universe, means inseparable from the universe, just as clay is inseparable from the pot, water is inseparable from the ocean, Bhagavan is inseparable from the universe. I tell you, which other culture teaches this? No, Bhagavan is never present in the Veda Shastram as someone sitting above and poking his nose into a private business. No, Bhagavan is very much right here in the form of the whole Jagat. Therefore, Bhagavan is not somewhere far away from us. Bhagavan is there as the very existence of the universe, as the essence, the truth behind everything in this universe. So you can say, just as the gold is very much there inseparably with every ornament, Bhagavan is very much present in the Jagat, in everything. Okay, this is the second. It's a Karnakarya Sambandha, and Karanam is one, and Karanam is inseparable truth of everything, existence of everything. Second. And third factor is what? The Karanam, the cause, is of the nature of cause is free from time limitation, means cause is free from three periods of time, past, present and future. Cause is free from past, present and future. Therefore, cause has to be nityaha, timeless. Before the effect comes, the universe came into existence, Brahman was. Even after the universe has come into existence, Brahman is in the form of the universe. Even after the universe becomes unmanifest, Brahman will continue to be there. Exactly like the pot, before the pot is created, clay is, even in the form of the pot, clay continues to be there. Even after when the pot is broken, clay continues to be there in the form of broken chips of the pot. Similarly, here Brahman is always there. Okay, time is free from three periods of time. Timeless, this is third point, third nature of the reality, Karnam Brahma. And here, the cause is independent of the effect. As effect has no independent existence of its own, therefore cause is satyam, effect is mithya. Okay, we had another 4 points now. 5 points. We learned 5 points. 5 factors we have to remember as the nature of the karanam brahma, karana ishvaraha. Ishvara is satyam, jagat is mithya, because jagat has independent existence. Satyam, remember, let us remember satyam. So, Ishwaraha yekaha, Ishwaraha satyaha, meaning Ishwaraha sarabhutaha, very existence, the content of the universe, substance of the universe. And Ishwaraha is timeless, nityaha. And Ishwara is the truth, meaning satyam. This must remember. This is the nature of the Karanam Brahma, Karana Ishwaraha. Maya Sahita Ishwaraha. Mayavi Ishwaraha. Mayavi Ishwara, don't think magician Ishwara. Mayavi Ishwara means, even though the word Mayavi means magician, but Mayavi Ishwara means the Lord who is endowed with the power of Maya is of this nature of being, be one and being very substance, the content of the whole jagat, and being eternal and being the truth, satyam. Now, what is the nature of the effect? What is the nature of the universe? That we must understand now. So, the nature of the universe, the effect is of the opposite nature. That is, the universe is of the world, the plurality, objects of plurality. It is many. So jagat is, the effect is the world of plurality. So aneke. And second thing, because the universe, every object in this universe has no substance of its own, substantiality of its own. There's no substance called world. Okay, if you remove the water, wave has no substance. Wave is a non-substantial form and name. Similarly, if you, other than Brahman, the Karanam Brahma, Ishwara Bhagavan, the truth, every object, there's innumerable countless forms and names are non-substantial forms and names. Therefore, the jagat is non-substantial jagat. There's a plurality is the nature of the world. And being plural in number is the nature. Then being non-substantial is its nature. And it has a beginning, it has an end. The world has a beginning and the world has a end means what? World comes and the world disappears also. It doesn't remain permanently. Therefore it is subject to time. Therefore it is anityam, time bound. Being plural is its nature. Being non-substantial is its nature, and being time-bound is its nature. Then it has no independent existence of its own. It is as good as non-existent, therefore it is mithya. Being seemingly real, as though real, is its nature. Whereas Brahman is absolutely real. This is the nature of the world. So this is how we have to understand the nature of Atma. The Brahman, the Karanam Brahma, Ishwara Bhagavan, the nature of the universe. Bhagavan, the cause of the universe, is of that nature. The universe, which is the effect, is of this nature. Okay? When we thoroughly understand, relatively, the nature of Bhagavan, nature of the universe, then from this, we have to derive a corollary. We have to learn from this, from the understanding of the nature of Bhagavan, the cause, the nature of the universe, the effect. So what is the lesson? We are living in this world, experiencing the world, objectifying the world, and of course, therefore, the world serves a purpose, okay? So it is very purposeful. The world is here purposefully. The world is very useful also. very useful. Useful for our day-to-day transactions, interactions. The word serves a purpose of being useful in our day-to-day transactions and interactions. Suppose if you have to decorate yourself, adorn yourself, and naturally the ornaments you have in your cupboard are very, very useful. You can arrange, you can adorn yourself, you can decorate yourself. Similarly, this world of beings, objects are very, very useful because for our living, for our day-to-day interactions. But, see, being useful, the utility of the world, usefulness of the world, purposefulness of the world should not be mistaken for source of security and happiness. The world is very useful. Hope you're all listening to me carefully. I'm doing something very important. Okay. The world is of very useful, but it should not be mistaken as source of security because it is very useful. Okay. How? Any dress or garments you have filled your cupboard with, they're very useful. You can wear them. Ornaments, you can wear them. Do you think wearing a dress, wearing your ornaments will bless you with security? No, you need to wear them because you have to live in the world. But that doesn't mean it's a source of security and happiness. Similarly, the world of objects, the forms are very useful. They serve the purpose of being useful for a day-to-day business, but they should not be mistaken for a source of security and happiness. Okay, this is one important lesson. And because seeking security, I want to be secure, I want to be happy, and this is actually the basic desperate need on the part of every human being. Wanting to be secure, wanting to be happy is the basic fundamental desperate need on the part of every human being. Therefore, of course, all human beings desperately have this problem of holding on to something or the other for one's own security and happiness. Therefore, what Vedanta Shastram assertively now shows is, please all of you listen to me carefully, what Vedanta Shastram now assertively says is, this whole world of plurality is non-substantial, time-bound, non-substantial, time-bound, mithya universe is, mithya universe can never be, okay, should not be dependent upon, laid upon for your security and happiness. Because emotional, the holding on to a human being, human relationship. See, you must have good relationship with people, but holding on to the relationship, human relationship or possession of things or position in the world is like what? Emotionally leaning on this world for security is very dangerous. Okay? Because there's a much greater risk. Okay? It's the greatest risk of your being ditched. Okay, your expectation. Therefore, because how can we expect the time-bound world of objects to bless you with the everlasting security, everlasting happiness, everlasting peace? How can you rely on the mithya, seemingly apparently real world to bless you with absolute happiness? Relatively real world, how can it bless you with absolute security and happiness? No. Therefore, depending on this world for one's happiness and security is emotional dependence. This will lead us to the constant problem of remaining in samsara. Therefore, Upanishad, by presenting the facts about the world, making us understand the fact about the world and Brahman, Upanishad actually is a bitter fact. Oh, I never thought this way. We don't think this way. That is why Upanishad has to come and teach us. So better we, instead of depending on the world for our security and happiness, we must make all possible efforts to shift our dependence from the world to Bhagavan. So what should I lean on emotionally? If the people say I'm emotionally very weak. Okay. If you want emotional strength, you must be leaning on Bhagavan for emotional strength. If you want to be emotionally strong, if you're leaning on the world, your world will make you weaker and it will ruin you also. But leaning on the world emotionally is not appropriate because you know its nature. When you do not know its nature, you are leaning on the world, it's okay because you're ignorant. But now Upanishad shows, hey, world is the effect means this is the nature of the effect world. The four important points. Okay, the world of plurality has no substance of its own, that it is time-bound in nature, and it is mithya. And relying on this, it's a non-substantial world. Relying on this world, you must be prudent enough whether you should rely on this world or rely on Bhagavan for your security and happiness. This is the lesson. Because when we don't need to worry about whether Bhagavan is there or not. Now, Shastram tells, the whole world is Bhagavan only. But still, whole world is Bhagavan means the Namarupas don't rely on Namarupas. How can you hold on to Bhagavan? When you have to see that Bhagavan is not in the form of the even if Bhagavan is in the home of the world, you have to see what is the Bhagavan who is in the home of the world. You have to know the Bhagavan to hold on to Bhagavan. Okay. In the beginning, when you're too young or too gross-minded to understand subtle Bhagavan, that is why in our culture, in the beginning, all of us are trained or to worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan. We are gradually helped to develop relationship with Bhagavan through our worship and prayer without even knowing who Bhagavan is. Okay? Without even knowing who Bhagavan is, we are helped to develop relationship with Bhagavan through worship and prayer. So gradually, the worshipping Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan without understanding who Bhagavan is, gradually will bless us with the desire to know who Bhagavan is one day. Then when you understand Bhagavan, then you are really holding on to Bhagavan. And finally, and holding on to understanding Bhagavan gradually helps you understand that Bhagavan being your own Surupam, and you, because then you're holding on to Bhagavan becomes self-dependence. Okay. Let us move on to the next mantra. Agnirmurdha. Agnirmurdha chakshushi chandra suryau. Agnirmurdha chakshushi chandra suryau. Dishashrotre vag vivritas chaveda. See, the mantra does not convey much. Okay. We have to know. From there, we have to know how to derive lessons from there. Okay. Next mantra. Agnirmurdha chakshushi chandra suryau. Agnirmurdha chakshushi chandra suryau. Dishashrotre vag vivrutascha vedah. Dishashrotre vag vivrutascha vedah. అగ్నిర్మూర్ధా చక్షుషి చంద్రసూర్యో దిశ శ్రోత్రే వాగ్ వివృతాశ్చ వేదాః వాయుః ప్రాణో హృదయం విశ్వమస్య పద్భ్యాం పృథివీ హేష సర్వభూతాంతరాత్మా అగ్నిర్మూర్ధా చక్షుషి చంద్రసూర్యో దిశ శ్రోత్రే వాగ్వివృతాశ్చ వేదాః వాయుః ప్రాణో హృదయం విశ్వమస్య పద్భ్యాం పృథివీ హేష సర్వభూతాంతరాత్మా వాయుః ప్రాణో హృదయం విశ్వమస్య పద్భ్యాం పృథివీ హేష సర్వభూతాంతరాత్మా. ఓకే, లెట్ అస్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ వర్స్. ఆఫ్టర్ వర్డ్స్ ఐమ్ గోయింగ్ టు టీచ్ యు హౌ ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫార్ ది సటిల్ యూనివర్స్ టు ఇవాల్వ్. ఓన్లీ దెన్ ది గ్రాస్ యూనివర్స్ కెన్ ఇవాల్వ్. Okay, there's no way of establishing the existence of the gross universe without establishing the existence of the subtle manifestation. From the subtle alone, gross has to evolve, isn't it? That is some lesson that I have to explain to you. I'll do that after completing this verse. Okay, in this following verse, because something I had to make it clear. So now you understood the whole Jagat has come into existence from Bhagavan. So the nature of Jagat as the effect, the nature of Bhagavan as the cause, you've understood. And who is Bhagavan? Bhagavan is a qualification given to the absolute reality, Brahma. We understood this much. Now, in this mantra, look at this. Beautifully, Upanishad gives us Vishwarupa Darshanam of Bhagavan. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Vishwarupa Darshanam is discussed in the 11th chapter. One whole chapter, isn't it? But here, Vishwarupa Darshanam is given here. Seeing Bhagavan and the form of the whole cosmos, or seeing the Vishwarupa Darshanam and Vibhut Yoga, and also Vishwarupa Darshan Yoga. In both chapters, you see Bhagavan. How? If you see Bhagavan in the form of the world, it is Vibhut Yoga. You see the world as Bhagavan's Rupam, which is Vishwarupa Darshanam. Two chapters, isn't it? Seeing the world as Bhagavan is Vishwarupa Darshanam. Seeing Bhagavan in the form of the world is Vibhut Yoga. Two chapters. And here Upanishad presents very briefly, it's one verse, beautifully presents. Which means, let us imagine from Bhagavan, who is Bhagavan, the absolute reality Brahma, endowed with the power of Maya, the subtle universe has evolved. Subtle universe means what? All the minds, okay? Let me very briefly, let me tell you. We have to understand. The totality of antahkaranani, samashti manaha. Samashti manaha. When you look at samashti manaha as manifestation of Bhagavan's power maya, we give the name Hiranyagarbha. Not, and from samashti manaha, the totality of all minds is what? Your mind, my mind, every mind, all the subtle minds together constitute samashti manaha. The samashti manaha is also not your mind, my mind. All the minds together we say manifestation of power of Brahma. Brahma means then it is Ishvara's creation. Therefore it is, we give the name Hiranyagarbha. Not only manaha, all samashti pranaha, the totality of all pranas also evolved from Brahman. Because when you say elements and elementals, you have to include all of them. And all the sense organs, all the organs of actions, isn't it? The first line says, sarvendriyani manah prana, sarvendriyani cha. What does that sentence mean, first sentence mean? The first sentence means all the subtle, the end totality of minds, Samashti Manaha, Samashti Pranaha, Samashti Indriyani. Okay? Not only one, Samashti Indriyani. Totality of powers of organs of actions, totality of powers of organs of knowledge, totality of pranas, totality of the antakaranani minds, all of them have evolved from Brahman. Means there's already subtle universe has come into existence. The totality of subtle factors, manifestation of totality of subtle factors alone is given the title Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? So Hiranyagarbha has evolved from Antaryamishwaraha. Let me remind you. Initially, what was pure, the reality with its inseparable power. The reality was Brahman. And the Brahman, the power is given the title Ishwaraha, Antaryamishwaraha. Why is it called Antaryamishwaraha? Bhagavan is given the name Antaryamishwaraha. Because the one in whom everything remains resolved. In the form of Maya, okay, Bhagavan is the one in whom the entirety of the cosmos remains unmanifest, resolved. He is called Antaryamishwaraha. And from that Antaryamishwaraha, in whom the whole universe remains resolved, the jagat becomes, subtle universe becomes manifest. The subtle universe means the totality of minds, prana, samashti pranaha, samashti manaha, samashti indriyani. And this subtle universe is again that manifestation of Bhagavan in the form of subtle universe is given the name what? Hiranyagarbha. So Antaryamishwara to Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? Still, now through the sense organs, through the mind, when the individual perceives the external world, then the gross universe also comes into being. Is it clear? Seeing is perceiving the world is what? Knowing the world. Knowing the world is lending existence to the world. Lending existence to the gross world is what? Creating the world. Do you get it? What I'm saying? Do you understand? Perceiving the world through sense organs is knowing the world. Knowing the world is lending existence to the world. Lending existence to the world is what? Implies creating the world. Okay, therefore, the gross universe becomes evolved later after the evolution of the subtle universe. Okay, then now what happened? Virat, the gross universe also is manifestation of same Bhagavan. Therefore, the gross universe, Bhagavan in the form of gross universe is known as Viradishwaraha. Virat Purusha Viradishwaraha. Bhagavan in manifest in the form of subtle universe is called Hiranyagarbha. Bhagavan as the one in whom the world remains unmanifest is called Antaryamishwaraha. I've got three functional names of only Bhagavan. Got it? Antaryamishwaraha, Hiranyagarbheshwaraha, Viradishwaraha. Three functional names of only Bhagavan. This is the Upanishadic terms. In Puranas, Antaryamishwaraha is personified as Shivaha, Hiranyagarbha is personified as Brahma, Viradishwaraha is personified as Vishnu. Trimurtihi. Okay? Therefore, three murtis means we have different murtis for each devata. But really speaking, all three different forms are of the only Bhagavan with three functional names. Three forms of three functional names, okay, of only Bhagavan. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Trimurti, Trimurtihi, Murtitrayeshwara. Okay. So that we have solved the problem of knowing who is superior, who is inferior. Okay. We have big relief. Because many people ask me, is it okay if I worship Vishnu? Is it okay if you worship Shiva? You worship, yesterday Bhagavan, I told you in the Bhagavad Gita class, whichever form you worship, with Shraddha, Bhagavan will stabilize that Shraddha. I told you in my Gita class. Therefore, no problem. Now, three names are nothing but only three names of only Bhagavan, functional names. So the Bhagavan who is in the realm of the gross universe is Viradeshwara. Bhagavan who is in the realm of subtle universe is Hiranyagarbha. Bhagavan who in whom the whole universe remains unmanifest is called Antaryamishwaraha. That is why Antaryamishwaraha is Shivaha presented by the symbol Shiva Lingam. Why Shiva Lingam has no avayava? I told you many times in my class for my other students. I'm telling you for the purpose of who are listening to me newly. Shiva Lingam has no limbs, no hands and legs. It's called Pratika. Why Shiva Lingam has no forms? Because a symbol symbolizing Bhagavan in whom all the forms, names, functions remain undifferentiated and unmanifest as one. Mahavishnu is gorgeously dressed because that is the whole, all the forms, names and functions become manifest. It is Mahavishnu. And the Shiva Lingam, that is why one Lingam itself is stand for inseparability of Devi and Shiva. Okay, Shiva Lingam is a beautiful concept. Anyway, that I'll do it again, some other class. Let me go on to more on the other class. Now, so here, we understand. Now, let me finish this one verse, please. Please be with me. Quickly, let's finish it. Agnirmurdha chakshushi chandra suryo dishashrotre vagvritas chaveda vayuf prano hridayam vishwamasya padbhyam prithivi yesha sarva bhotantaratma. So, we can imagine now the entire, the gross universe also has become manifest from Bhagavan. Therefore, even the gross universe, nothing is distant from Bhagavan, nothing is separable from Bhagavan, nothing is away from Bhagavan. Therefore, Bhagavan alone is there as the very existence, truth of everything in this gross universe also. Now, you see, the whole gross, the entirety of the gross universe must be visualized as the physical body of Bhagavan. Okay, please be with me. It's very auspicious to do this dhyaja meditation on Bhagavan on this Saturday. Okay, really it is a Mahavishnu Dhyanam if you do this now. The entire gross universe must be visualized as Bhagavan's physical body. Okay. Now in this physical body, you see, if you will see the whole Jagat is Bhagavan's physical body, then we don't see, no more, we cannot see the world as world. We are seeing the world as Bhagavan. You see the entire world as manifestation of Bhagavan. Thereby what happens? Suddenly, there's a big shift in our attitude. Okay, all these days we looked at a world as simply in things of world of inner things. No, now you look at everything as manifestation of consciousness, illumination of consciousness. Therefore, now with a tremendous reverential attitude, we look at the whole Jagat. Okay, therefore, what is Vishwarupa Darshanam of Bhagavan? We say, seeing the world, appreciating the world with a tremendous reverential attitude as Bhagavan is known as Vishwarupa Darshanam. Appreciating, perceiving this whole Jagat with tremendously reverential attitude as Bhagavan is known as Vishwarupa Darshanam. The world was before, world is now also. But now, there's a big change in our attitude. If the attitude is not there, I mean, if we do not entertain this attitude with the reverence, then we see the Jagat. If we see the Jagat with the reverential attitude, it becomes Bhagavan. Okay, now, please look at this. There are five elements. Agnir Murdha Agnihi Murdha. Of the five elements, now remember this mantra here again. Agnihi Murdha. Murdha means head. The head stands for heaven. Heaven is becomes Bhagavan's head. When I say the universe, even the unknown worlds also, the gross universe implies the entirety of the creation implies in all 14 worlds. The entirety of the universe, gross universe has come into existence from Bhagavan means it includes all 14 worlds. The highest of the lokas is what? Brahma loka, which is heaven. That heaven should be looked upon as the head of Bhagavan. Okay? Therefore, Agnihi. The word Agnihi literally means fire. Agnihi Murdha. And Agnihi literally means fire. And the fire actually here stands for Surya Bhagavan, sun. Agnihi representing Surya Bhagavan. Therefore, Agni is equal to Suryaha. Suryaha is in the Surgaloka. Therefore, this Agni meaning Suryaha, sun, represents the heaven. How do we know this? Because the word Agnihi is always represents Surya, and the Surya represents heaven. This is how our Shastram teaches. It's a technical jargon in our Shastra, used in our Shastra. Okay. Now, Suryaha stands for, Agni means sun, sun stands for the heaven. Now, what is the head now? Murdha, Agnihi Murdha means heaven is the head of Bhagavan. We visualize in audio, you are in dhyanam. Even they do not know what heaven, understand as a heaven and see the heaven as Bhagavan. Beyond heaven, nothing, Bhagavan only is there. Okay, there's nothing else. Bhagavan is the form of heaven. Agnir Murdha, Chakshusan Chandra Suryo. And see now, Chandrasu, now see this Chandraha and Suryaha. The head of the Viradishwaraha is heaven. Now, sun and moon, two eyes. Chakshushi. Two eyes of Bhagavan are the sun and the moon form the two eyes of Bhagavan. Then, Disha Shrotre. And now you can see all the directions. All the directions are Bhagavan's ears. Okay? There's no wherever over skims Bhagavan can hear very well. All the directions means what? Ten, dasha, dishaha. Okay, east, west, south, north, northeast, southeast, northwest, northwest, southwest, above, below, all ten, urdhvam, adaha. All ten quarters are form the ears of Bhagavan. Disha, shrotre. So, dishaha, shrotre. Yes, visualizing. Disha, shrotre. Then, Vagvrutascha Vedaha. Vagvrutascha Vedaha. So, Vivrutaha Vedaha. See, Vivrutam means well known. Okay, the Veda Shastram as a means of knowledge is known. Highly popular as a means of knowledge. Vivrutaha Vedaha means the highly popular, well-known Veda Shastram with all its divisions form words of Bhagavan, speech of Bhagavan. The entirety of the well-known Veda Shastram stands for Bhagavan's speech. What is Bhagavan's speech? Veda Shastram is the speech of Bhagavan, words of Bhagavan. Vivrutaha Vag, Vivrutaha Vedaha Virat Purushasya Vak. Okay. Then Vayu Pranaha. And what is how we all have physiological functions? And the Vayu, the air element, the air element becomes Bhagavan's physiological functions, prana. Air element becomes Bhagavan's physiological functions, prana. When you see Vayu, you are seeing Bhagavan's prana. When you see Surya Bhagavan, you see Bhagavan's head in the form of heaven. When you see sun and moon together, you see two eyes of Bhagavan. And when you hear anywhere Vedic chanting anywhere, you are hearing Bhagavan's words. And Hridayam Vishwam. Okay. And this entire universe. The entire universe. Where is this universe? The universe is held in Bhagavan's heart. Hridayam Vishwam. The entire universe is, the entire universe forms the heart of Bhagavan. Okay. Now, what are Bhagavan's feet? Prithivi, Padbhyam Prithivi. It's not the grammar and all here, okay? Don't look into grammar. Padbhyam Prithivi. So, Bhagavan's feet, the earth is Bhagavan's feet. Earth becomes Bhagavan's feet. Whenever you're walking on the Prithvi, don't look at the Prithvi as just the Prithvi. Look at Bhagavan's feet. You are standing on Bhagavan's feet, okay? You're walking on Bhagavan's feet. You're standing on Bhagavan's feet. You cannot walk otherwise. So how, that's why Bhumi always you bow down to Bhumi to Namaskaram. Prithvi is Bhagavan's feet. This is the, I want to elaborate on this. Definitely I'll do it next class, but I want to understand at least this much. See the verse now again. Agnir Murdha Chakshushi Chandra Suryo Dishrotre Vagvritas Chavedaha Vayuv Prano Hridayam Vishwamasya Padbhyam Prithivi Hi Yesha Sarva Bhotantaratma. Yeshaha Sarvabhuta Antaratma. Sarvabhuta Antaratma. Therefore, who is the essential, innermost Sarvabhuta Antaratma? Therefore, it is this absolute reality, Brahma, endowed with the Maya Shakti, alone manifest as this gross and subtle universe. Not only the Bhagavan is manifest as the universe, Bhagavan is very much there as the innermost essence of every being in this universe. As the content of I, Sarvabhuta Antaratma. So Bahya Prapanchaha is Bhagavan, Antra Prapanchaha is Bhagavan, Antaratma is also Bhagavan. Antaratma is Bhagavan, Antra Prapancha is Bhagavan, Bahya Prapancha is Bhagavan. External gross universe, internal subtle universe, and the innermost essence of everything here is Bhagavan. Therefore, what are you? Where are you? Now, are you here separately? What is it? Is only Bhagavan. Okay? This is just being with the meaning of this verse, is, mantra is just seeing everything as Bhagavan. The Prithvi is Bhagavan's feet. Why do you want to go and search for Bhagavan anywhere else? When you're seeing the feet, you're earth, you're seeing Bhagavan's feet. When you're seeing the wind, you're seeing Bhagavan's breath. When you're seeing sun and moon, you're seeing Bhagavan's eyes. When you're seeing all directions, you're seeing Bhagavan's ears. When you see sun above, you don't know what heaven is. Therefore, Upanishad very thoughtfully presented sun representing heaven. You see the sun above, oh, separately sun. Above, sun above, you can see what? As heaven, Bhagavan's head. Okay? So, the whole is Bhagavan, which is not Bhagavan here. Okay? It's a beautiful Vishnu Sahasranama shloka. Remember that Vishnu Sahasranama shloka? It's a dhyana shloka. Bhuv padam yasya nabhar ವಿಯದ ಸುರ ನಿಲಶ್ಚಂದ್ರ ಸೂರ್ಯೌ ಚ ನೇತ್ರೇ ಕರ್ಣಾವಾಶಾ ಶಿರೋರ್ದ್ಯೌರ್ ಮುಖಮಪಿ ದಹನೋ ಯಸ್ಯ ವಾಸ್ತೇಯಮಬ್ಧಿಃ ಅಂತಸ್ಥಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಅಂತಸ್ಥಂ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಸುರ ನರ ಖಗ ಗೋ ಭೋಗಿ ಗಂಧರ್ವ ದೈತ್ಯೈಃ ಕ್ಷಿಪ್ರಂ ರಮ್ಯತೆ ತಂ ತ್ರಿಭುವನ ವಪುಷಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಮೀಶಂ ನಮಾಮಿ. ತಂ ಈಶಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಂ ಅಹಂ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಐ ಬೌ ಟು ದಟ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್, ಆಲ್ ಪರ್ವೇಸಿವ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಈಶಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಂ, ವಿಷ್ಣು ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಪರ್ವೇಸಿವ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್. ಐ ಬೌ ಟು ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಷ್ಣು? ಭೂಃ ಪಾದೌ ಯಸ್ಯ, ಒನ್ ಫಾರ್ ಹೂಮ್ ಅರ್ತ್ ಇಸ್. That Vishu Sahasrama Dhyana Shloka is a typical, this verse modified. This mantra of Taittiriya Upanishad, sorry, mantra of Mundaka Upanishad modified is that Dhyana Shloka of Vishu Sahasranama. Bhupadam Yasya, Yasya Padam Bhuhu, the one whose feet form the earth, the earth forms the feet of whom? Bhupadam Yasya Nabhar Viyat, one whose navel is the space. Yasya nabhir viyad. Bhupado yasya nabhir viyad anila. Anila suhu. Okay. Earth is Bhagavan's breath there. Bhupado yasya nabhir viyad suranila. Viyad suranilo. It goes from the mind. Hurry to complete. So, it's a very beautiful verse, isn't it? We'll see. Please see if you have a book at home. Take that Vishu Sahasrama book and see the meaning of that Dhyana Shlokaha. Okay. Bhuv Padam Yasya Nabhir Viyada Suranilo
Yamna Sanitrayam
Karna Vasha Shiro Dyaur Mukham Api Dahano Yasya Vasteyam Abdihi ಅಂತಸ್ಥಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ವಿಶ್ವಂ ಸುರ ನರ ಖಗ ಗೋಭೋಗಿ ಗಂಧರ್ವ ದೈತ್ಯೈಃ ಚಿತ್ರಂ ರಂ ರಮ್ಯತೆ ತಂ ತ್ರಿಭುವನ ವಪುಷಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಮೀಶಂ ನಮಾಮಿ. ಒನ್ ವರ್ಸ್, ಸೀ ದೇರ್ಸ್ ನೋ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಸಿಂಪಲ್, ಟೇಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಒನ್ ವರ್ಸ್, ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್, ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ಜಗತ್ ಆಸ್ ಭಗವಾನ್. ಸೀ ದಿ ಜಗತ್ ಆಸ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೀ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಆಸ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ಸ್ ಅಂಗಸ್. Limbs. Vishwarupa Darshanam. It's not simple. It's only for the purpose of meditation, upasanam, these verses are given. But this particular verse says how the whole jagat, the subtle universe, gross universe, unmanifest universe. Unmanifest universe also is non-different from Bhagavan. That is the more important point. Unmanifest universe is non-different from Bhagavan. Then the unmanifest universe is not universe. Ishwara, Antaryam Ishwara. What was before the creation was unmanifest. Okay, Antaryamishra. Then subtle universe is what? Hiranyagarbha. What is gross universe? Viradishwaraha. There's only Bhagavan in the form of gross universe as Vishnu, in the form of subtle universe as Hiranyagarbha, in the form of unmanifest universe as Antaryamishwaraha. All that is, there is only Bhagavan. There is no Jagat. Therefore, there is no you also. Why? Antaratma. Bhagavan is there as you also. Bhagavan is there, yes, very you, the innermost essence of all the beings. Bhagavan is there as the beings constituting the world. Okay? See you next class. This verse I have to explain to you. I'll see. I've given the at least a gist of what this mantra conveys. We'll see again this mantra next class. These are very important lessons, being with these classes. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. See, please see, memorize the first three mantras. As memorize immediately so that you won't get pile up, okay? Memorize the mantras. Once the mantras are in the mind, the words will be in the mind, the meanings will be with the mind, mantras. Then you are with, Upanishad will be with you. The best way is to memorize the mantras. Only three mantras. Please memorize them. Okay?